Our series is entitled Lessons from Joseph. And our message this morning is Be a Good Steward. And we are doing part two today. Part of the introduction, let's quickly look at the definition of steward. When you look at the dictionaries, you'll get different definitions. I took this one. I like this one more. It says a steward is a person whose job is to manage the land and property of another. We are learning about becoming a good steward. So in other words, we are managing a property or land of another. And last week we learned that we are God's stewards. God has given us life. God has given us families. God has given us employment opportunities. God has given us kids. God has given us properties. God has given us money. And all those things that God has given to us, He is trusting us to use them to advance His kingdom. That is what we learned last week. And we picked up great stuff in terms of then how can we be then good stewards. So today we are just going to build on that. One thing that we're looking at Joseph. We looked at the fact that the reason God favored Joseph so much and protected him so much and even gave him promotion, it's because God had a plan for his life. The reason you are alive today, it is because God has a plan for your life. The promotions that you have received, the positions that we hold, they are not for our benefit only. You know, we are like a conduit carrying water. The water goes through us. The fact of the matter is, as the water goes through us, we are not going to stay dry. We'll also be wet. So we enjoy the benefit of the promotions that God gives to us. But God has a greater purpose with that promotion. God has provided you with the property, with your cars, whatever that you may have. His number one goal is to use that to advance His kingdom.
Amen.
So are we going to work with Him? As we work with Him, we will enjoy the benefits. There are great benefits. But as we work with Him, people's lives will be changed. I would like to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful for this opportunity that we can go through your word and hear what you want to say to us. Father God, I'm so grateful that you have given this word to me. But I know that the Holy Spirit is here as well to interpret the word for each person according to their need. So, Father, as I share your word, I trust that, Lord, you're making your word clear to your people. Father, I thank you that you will speak to them. You will change them. You will bring them to a higher level through the word that you've put in my heart. And, Father, I receive as well the anointing that you've given to me to be able to share this word effectively in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, as well, we just want to give you a big praise, Father, for the opportunity we had to give our finances in honor to you, Father. We thank you that we are receiving them on your behalf, Father. These are your finances. These are meant to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, your word says you provide seed to the sower and bread for food. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we have had this opportunity to sow these seeds, we pray that you'll multiply every seed that is sown, Lord. We pray that, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, you'll supply bread. And we pray that your people, Father God, will have abundance and be able to be a blessing much more in future as they are faithfully following your instruction, Father God. We are so grateful for this opportunity. And Lord, receive these offerings and we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We praise God. Amen. Now let's continue. We are now on Genesis chapter 42. We're going to read from verses 1 up to 25, but I'm skipping other verses. So I read some verses and then I stop, just talk about some lessons that we can pick from those verses, and we continue. Now, I have here, I'm using New Living Translation, and that's the purpose of me putting the verses up there. Because you may have a different translation yourself, you can follow, that's perfect. But for this message, I just think this translation somehow helps in getting the point across more effectively. Now, we'll start reading from verse 1. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I have heard there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we will die." So Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother Benjamin go with them for fear some harm might come to him. So Jacob's sons arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Now, let's quickly look at the lessons that we get from the passage that we've gone through now. The first lesson that we pick up is that Benjamin enjoyed his father's favor such that the father would not allow anything to hurt him. You will remember Joseph. The Bible tells us that his father loved him so much and he did not care what other people thought of him loving his son. He showered him with his love and he eventually even made him a coat of many colors. He was just saying to everybody else, "I don't care what other people think about you. I'm going to shower you with my love." That is what he did. And the Bible tells us that now Joseph is gone, according to his father. Now Benjamin is the youngest child. So now the father is doing exactly the same thing. He's just pouring his love upon this young child. Now when you read the word of God, you discover that that is what God is doing with us. God does not care who thinks what about his love upon our lives. When he showers us with his love, he showers us in such a way that it will always be more than what we can expect or even think about. That's what the Bible tells us. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think about. But the challenge is at times we do not receive. And we do not receive because of traditions that we have. It could be because of what we've seen. You know, they say the dangerous thing is having power. If you have power, you stand to fall into a greater danger compared to a person who doesn't have power. Yeah. Finances provide power as well. And if you do not have the wisdom of God, finances can destroy you. Right. Now we've seen people that have lost their lives because of finances. And so what have we done as the body of Christ? We've said we don't want finances. We don't want money. I just want God to bless me, myself, and I, and my family. And if I can just have enough for me to live, that is enough. Is that what God wants for you? So, I'm trying to say God's desire for us is that we be a blessing. How can we be a blessing if we need more blessing ourselves? So, God then showers us with his blessings so that we can be a blessing to other people. God showered blessings upon the life of Joseph, and now where we are, we see that this man is used by God mightily to save people's lives. If this man did not have the wisdom that God gave him, if he did not have the ability that God gave him, many people would die. But God prospered him to be a blessing, and that is what God wants to do with us. And prosperity is not finances only. How many people have got all the money in the world that they need and they're lying on some bed, sick? Will you call that person prosperous? You can't. We must learn to receive everything that God has given to us. Let us not put God in a box and say, I will receive this, the other one others can have. What if God wanted to use you with that as well? So let us just open our hearts before God and receive all that He has for us. This is a new year, 2016. And as we enter into this year, our expectation is exactly what we are going to receive. If we expect God to abundantly bless us, we will be abundantly blessed. If we expect to suffer like the world, because we know economically things are not looking good. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 5, says, arise and shine. For your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then it says, darkness shall cover the earth. Great darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. So what does it say to you? It says you do not have to experience what the world is experiencing. You can expect God to arise over your life. And you be able to live above the circumstances that the world is going through. But that requires faith, trusting God to do that. If we do not have that faith, but perhaps we perform and think performing is what will give God an opportunity to do those things for us, we'll see nothing happening. Because everything that God gives us today, it's based on what Jesus Christ did, not what we do. 1 John 4, verse 10. In this is love. Let me just go back. Here, John is talking about love, loving one another. And he's talking about you being able to tell the Antichrist and people that are really from Christ as well. And he says the sign is love. He's talking about loving and people doing things out of love. But then he says, in this is love. He's now getting deep now. He says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, which is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In this is love, not that we love God. Where is the focus? The focus is not in how much we love God. The focus is on how much God loves us. If you focus on loving God, you will always come short. And you will always feel guilty. You will always feel like, I don't love God as I should. And therefore, when things happen in your life, you'll say, that's the reason why. Because I don't love God enough. You will always come short in your life if you focus on your love for God. The Bible clearly says it. And this is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He. So what should you and I do then? Never focus on you loving God. Think more about God's love. Think how much He loves you. And as you think how much He loves you, what's going to happen? You'll fall in love with Him. More and more, you will just fall in love with God. You find people that get born again and they say, you know what, this love, I don't know what I should do here. This is hard. I can't do this thing. Don't do anything. Just receive the Father's love. When you receive the Father's love, it has the potential to change you. It's the love of God that changes us. It's not us. It's not our strong will. I'm a strong-willed person. That's why a lot of people have failed, because they thought they can stand. That's why the Bible says something. It says, flee youthful lusts. It does not say, stand and show how strong you are. It says, flee from them. Why? Because it's trying to say to you, do not have trust in your ability. Trust God. Put your trust and your ability in God. So here we're saying it's not how much you love the Lord, but it's how much He loves you. It is our Father's love, not our love for Him, that provides for us. Provides what? Protection, provision, guidance, etc. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, He who did not withhold, who did not spare His Son, but gave Him up for us, how can He not freely with Him give us all these things that we want? All these things that we get from God, we get them from Him freely. You do not work for things. God gives us those things freely. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking with the assumption that we understand that we live under a new covenant. Under the old covenant, it was works. Do, 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 do. And if you don't do, nothing comes your way. Under the new covenant, Jesus did it all. Now receive. Jesus came and he changed our lives. God introduced the old covenant because he wanted people to see that they cannot please him. There is no way that they can meet his standards. That's what Galatians chapter 3 verse 19 tells us. So his hope was that when Christ comes in, people will say, oh, thank you, Father, for the Savior that you've brought for us. Because really, we were not able to live up to your standard. So you say this, Jesus Christ did everything for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, it says, for God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So you're saying, Father, all the curses that the Bible speaks about, we have been redeemed from them. Father, in verse 14, are you saying the blessing of Abraham is upon us? Oh, Father, thank you that we don't have to perform. So we receive all those things. But unfortunately, God met great resistance. Where people said, no, we are not going to receive this. We want to work for our salvation. And they went and they added stuff. They went and they prayed in public. They wanted everybody to see them. They went and prayed so many times. They went and had their bodies just to show how much they love God. God says, don't do those things. Just receive from me. They say, no, we want to do. And then what happened? Paul, God called Paul. He said, Paul, go to the Gentiles. They have a different mindset. They have not received all these rules and regulations. Therefore, they will receive what you say. When you say to them, I want to bless them freely, Romans 8:32, they will just receive what you say. So go to them. And Paul went to the Gentiles. He was called the apostle of the Gentiles. And they received the word. And we have also received the word. But then as we have received the word, if you are not from the nation of Israel, please don't put yourself under the agreement that God had with Israel. There was a big, big argument. Acts chapter 15. The Bible tells us that Paul had to go up to Jerusalem because people came and said, you guys, you need to be circumcised like us. You are not saved if you're not circumcised. Mm-mm. It's not just circumcision. It's all these other things that people say we need to do for us to be saved and receive from the Lord. So people are saying, if you don't do these things, you will receive nothing from God. Paul and Barnabas, they had to go up to Jerusalem, and they sat with James, Peter as well. They were there and they told them what was happening. And then the time came where the brother of Jesus, who was the overseer of the church there, he said, I feel that we must allow Paul to continue preaching the gospel as he has been preaching the gospel. The only thing that we just want him to do is that he teaches those people to abstain from eating blood and instruct them to give to the needy. When you come to church, what do we say? Now that you're born again, you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We cannot go back where Christ has taken us from. We should move forward. Don't try to worship Christ the way he was worshipped before he came. Amen. Praise be to God. Therefore, do not boast of your love for God. Boast of his love for you. Don't talk about what you do for God. Boast of what he does for you. That is what is important. As you boast about that, your mind is being renewed. And as your mind is being renewed, you are able to receive more and more of what the Lord wants to give to you. You will never receive what God wants you to have if your mind is not renewed. So that is why you need to boast of his love for you. Boast of his love. Talk about how much he loves you. Talk about the things that he does for you. Doesn't matter how big or small they are. To you, they're important. It doesn't matter what other people think. It's important to you. You woke up this morning, you're alive. Praise the Lord that you're alive today. You can walk today. Praise the Lord that you can walk today. Boast of his love for you. Don't boast about your love, because you'll always come short. And I can tell you, my brother, my sister, you will not be able to receive from God if you have guilt and shame in your heart, feeling that you've let God down. Boast of his love for you. Your life will change as you acknowledge what God has done for you instead of your shortcomings. Philemon verse 6. The Bible says, let the sharing of your faith be effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is inside you. How do you make your faith effective? It says by acknowledging every good thing that is inside you. We try to do stuff, work stuff, so that our faith will be effective. No, Philemon 6, acknowledge every good thing that is inside you. Then your faith will work. Boast of God's love for you. Genesis 42 verse 6. Since Joseph was governor of all Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground. You remember that is why they wanted to kill him? This is why they decided to sell him to slavery. They said, we will never bow to you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Even his father said, do you think me and your mother will bow to you? What the devil tries to stop from happening in your life will happen. This is what I want you to know. What the devil tries to stop in your life will happen. What is it that is trying to stop from happening in your life? Just like God did for Joseph, his brothers decided to sell him to slavery because they said, we will never bow to him. We will never. And we see here that they bowed to him. And I want to say this to you. This part that I underlined here as I was preparing, I could hear this coming from my spirit. Whatever the devil tries to stop from happening in your life will happen. I want you, if you want to take anything with you when you leave today, I want you to take that statement straight from the heart of God. Whatever the devil tries to stop from happening in your life, it will happen. What dream has God given you? What dream has God given you? How much resistance have you seen? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you've seen. Whatever the devil tries to stop in your life, what he says will never happen, it's going to happen. Just hang in there. Be like Joseph. This is the reason why we are taking lessons from Joseph. We're seeing what he did for him to see this big thing happening. His brothers bowing before him. Don't ask yourself, oh God, how it will happen. Only believe and God will do the rest. Amen. Joseph had no clue that one day he would be ruling in Egypt. And he would have his brothers come and bow before him. He had no clue. The only thing that he knew was he had a dream where God showed him his brothers bowing before him. So don't worry about how it happens. It's not your area of speciality. That is God's area of speciality. Allow God to do what he does best. Do what you can do best. Trust him. That is what you can do. Just trust him. 42:7-9. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Where are you from? He demanded. From the land of Canaan. They replied, we have come to buy food. Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. And he remembered the dreams he had had about them many years before. He said to them, you are spies. You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become. And verse 21, speaking among themselves, they said, clearly we are being punished because of what we did to Joseph long ago. We saw his anguish when he pleaded for his life, but we wouldn't listen. That's why we are in this trouble. Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? Reuben asked. But you wouldn't listen to me. And now we have to answer for his blood. Of course, they didn't know that Joseph understood them, for he had been speaking to them through an interpreter. This is very interesting. I think if it was some of us, we would be having fun now. We would want to show them who is the man. That is what we would want to show them. Yes, a person who doesn't believe in God can do that. God said, you'll be known by your love. And loving people, God told us to even love those that hate us. So we forget about what they've done to us and we do our duty. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So in other words, when you do the duty, you are empowered to do it. You don't do it in your strength. It's not in your ability. God is the one that helps you. So you find yourself being unable to do it, say, Father, help me. And after praying, Father, help me, then focus on loving him. He will see what he will do. He will take care of the rest. That's the God we serve. That's the Father we have. Praise the Lord. In closing, lessons. Joseph's brothers thought that they were being punished for the sin of selling their brother. The strange thing is, these guys lived before the law was introduced. You know that the law was only introduced on Mount Sinai. These men lived before that time. So they were aware that they sinned. And they were aware that sin has got consequences. But there was no law. So the question is, do we need the law to make us aware that what we do is wrong? The law was only introduced after Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and all those guys. You know, Jacob then became Israel. And those guys lived for many years, Israel as well, for some time, having not received the law. And they knew what to do, the right stuff to do. They did not need the law. And then in Exodus chapter 19, then they went before God and they were boasting and they told God. They said, God, whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. And then that's when God changed his approach towards them altogether. And then from there he said, Moses, go and tell these guys to purify themselves. Spend 3 days purifying themselves and then they will meet me in front of Mount Sinai. When did that happen? When people were boasting, saying, Father, whatever you tell us to do, we will do. And that is what you find with Christians. We boast about what we can do, what we have done. You know, I've been a Christian now for 17 years, and therefore these things I can handle. Move aside, God, move aside, I'll take care of it. We are saved by grace, Bazalwane, through faith. And we should continue living by faith, not works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We're saved by grace through faith, and it is not of yourself. And verse 9, it says, so that no man can boast. But all of a sudden, I've given my tithe. I've given my tithe, so God has blessed me. Are we not boasting now? God blesses me now because I give my tithe. God blesses me now because I give my money in church. God blesses me now because every Sunday I go to church. You know, when we have rallies, I am there. I've never missed even a single rally. So God is blessing me because of that. The Bible says we are saved. And that where they're saved, it does not mean only the salvation of your soul. We're saved by grace. Through what? Faith, not works. Amen. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, because through it, it is a power to get life. And verse 17 says, and in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, not from faith to works, from faith to faith. When you get saved by faith, you will continue living by faith. Yeah. Don't all of a sudden now perform before God. Amen. And think what you do for God matters. Faith. We live this life by faith. God has forgiven us all our sins, past, present, and future, but we need to know that sin becomes a door for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. That's a fact. That's a fact. Your sins, past, present, and future, the sin that you'll commit tomorrow, it was forgiven 2,000 years ago. But that sin that you'll commit tomorrow is going to bring consequences in your life. So when you go through the consequences of your sin, don't think that God has not forgiven you. It's just that it's the consequences. It's not God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. It says, God has forever perfected those who are being sanctified. Being sanctified, it means being made holy. And being made holy, it's a process. You don't just, boom, I'm now holy. And you don't make yourself holy. You are being sanctified. Holiness is a fruit of the righteousness that you've received from God. You have been made righteous before God. And because of that, as you become aware of who you are, then you start seeing the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, changing you to be who God has called you to be. You don't work it out. You cannot boast. You'll never boast. The challenge that we have in the body of Christ is we mix what happened in the old covenant with what is supposed to be happening in the new covenant. And we think we need to perform for God. And that's where we get stuck. Romans 8. Okay, I've quoted this one. Romans 8, it says, to be carnally minded is death. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, what does it mean? You'll deal with the consequences of either being carnally minded or being spiritually minded. We can't run away from that. But the fact is, you know what? You're forgiven. You're forgiven. If you were to die, you'll go straight to heaven. It's just that you'll go to heaven quickly because you did not want to listen to the word of God. We need to know that. People think sin will keep you from heaven. The one sin that will keep you from heaven is not believing in what Jesus Christ did for you. All these other sins, they will take you to heaven quickly. Why do I say that? Because they will kill you. So you'll die before your time because of all these sins that you commit. But making it to heaven, you will. You'll make it to heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ forgave your sins, past, present, and future. Let me give you one example. I know we've got visitors, so just have to, so that I don't confuse you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. You read of a story of a man that was having a relationship with his stepmother. And Paul hears about this, and he says, what is this? This doesn't even happen among the heathens. You are the church of God. And you have this man having a relationship with his stepmother. Why do you still allow this man? Why are you not excommunicating this man? He says, I have judged. Now I want you that when you get together, I want you to hand this man over to the devil so that the devil will destroy his flesh in order to save his soul. So sin will destroy your body, but you'll make it to heaven. We need to understand that. We need to stop trying to get people to live right by fear. We need to get people to understand the truth that they are free, that God is not holding anything against them. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And they need to understand that God loves them. And then they will come closer to God. You cannot spend time with God and stay the same. That's our goal. Just get people closer to God. He will do the rest. Don't try to change them. It's not your duty. You don't qualify. Praise the Lord. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can change people's lives. Not you. Praise be to God. Now he turned away from them and began to weep. When he regained his composure, he spoke to them again. Then he chose Simeon from among them and had him tied up right before their eyes. Joseph then ordered his servants to fill the men's sacks with grain, but he also gave secret instructions to return each brother's payment at the top of his sack. This is a different man. And this man suffered in the hands of these guys. Look at what he's doing to them. Only God can do this. He also gave them supplies for their journey home. Now, what I want to highlight here is that he did not do this for everybody. He only did this for his family. When we started with this series, we said Joseph also represents Christ. God reigns his reign over the righteous and the unrighteous, everybody. But he does more for his family, because his family can receive what he does. So as a child of God, don't be shy to go to your father and ask. Don't be shy to go to your father and say, Father, I need this. Father, do this for me. Don't be shy. He will do it lovingly. He won't hold back. He's not going to say, it's this time of the month, don't you remember? My salary is no longer around. I only have petrol money now. He's never going to say that to you. But if we don't have that trust in his love, we cannot do that. We'll live like the world. We'll suffer like the world. Because we are not receiving what the Father has freely given to us. So I'm saying here, look, these guys, they're just getting this different kind of treatment just because they were related to the men. How much about you and I? We're related to Jesus. Amen. It is important to test people's hearts. This is important. These are the lessons we're getting. Don't just take what they say. Loyalty has to be proven. We live in the world. When you deal with people, I mean, this is not God now. When we're talking about the lessons, we're not just talking about the lessons that are spiritual, but we're looking at our lives as a whole. People will come and promise you heaven on earth, and they never do that stuff. People will say that, we're behind you, brother. We are with you. We've got your back. Don't worry about anything. You have to prove them. Let them show their commitment.
That's right.
There are a lot of people that say that to the Lord as well. They say, Father, we're with you all the way. And that is why Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. Know that you are always observed. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. Joseph shows us that when we are in authority, we mustn't abuse our authority to settle old score. We should treat people better than they deserve. This is how Jesus is treating human beings. He pours his favor upon us because he doesn't keep record of what we did to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. It says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to him, not imputing their sins against them. That's what you do as the Pentecost church. You don't impute people's sins to them, but you go to the church at large. We enjoy imputing people's sins to them. It's our pleasure. We are holier than thou. It's them and us. That verse says what? It says he was not imputing their sins to them. So we must stop imputing people's sins to them. Conclusion. This is the real conclusion now. God is the source of your life and all you have. He gave you these for a purpose. If you show yourself faithful over little, you will be promoted to more responsibility. God's plan is hanging on you and effectively using what he has given you to advance his kingdom. These are the lessons that we heard today from Joseph. I'm saying, first thing, understand that God has a plan for your life. And because He has a plan for your life, then He has endowed you with everything that you need for you to be able to carry out that plan. So understand what you have is not just for your pleasure. You can enjoy it, but it's not just for your pleasure. God wants to use that for His plans. Now, once you have that in mind, then take the liberty of then asking, Father, show me what you want me to do. And on a daily basis, He's going to start showing you the path that you have to walk. And just follow Him. And as you follow Him, with no toiling, you just following as He guides you, you will see that He will take you where you need to be. He is able. Our Father is able. So I just want to take this time to thank God together with you for this word. And I trust that God has put seeds in your heart. At this stage, you may not see the fruit of the word that you've received, but it's a seed. If you nurture it, it's going to bear fruit in your life. We always have Holy Communion after the service, because for us, we know that we can't do this thing in our strength. We really depend on what Jesus Christ did. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So now we are saying today we are saved. We can access what God has given to us, not because of what we do or because of what we can do, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. So when we have this Holy Communion this day, I want you to know that everything that you will have, it comes from God. It's not you toiling. Just stay in His love. Stay in His love. Stay in His love. Boast on His love. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us. Stay in His love. And as you do that, you'll see things starting to happen in your life with ease. And be aware of the favors that God brings your way. Praise Him and thank Him for all those things. And as you do that, you are renewing your mind, because God is not withholding anything from us. It's our minds that need a renewal. Only once our minds are renewed, then we can receive from Him. He is not waiting. There is nothing like He's waiting for you to do something. He's just waiting for you to receive. That's the only thing that He's waiting for you to do. And the only way you'll be able to receive is if you allow the word of God to change your mind. Very important scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. It says, as we behold the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We do not change ourselves. Our part is just to behold. When Israel was attacked by serpents, after they murmured, God said to them, when He brought the solution, He said, whoever that is bitten by a serpent, let him just look up to the serpent that is on the pole, and then that person will live. That is all they had to do. They didn't have to jump 20, 11 times. They didn't have to do anything. Just look at the serpent. 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold the glory of the Lord, as we see Christ, having taken all the judgment that was supposed to come to us, what is going to happen to us? We are going to change. We will be changed. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I want you, when you take the Holy Communion, anything that you came here needing, and you're shouting, you're saying, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you died for me. The Bible tells us that because of His body, all our sins were taken care of. We don't have to deal with the punishment of our sins. But number two, the Bible says by His stripes, we were healed. So we receive the forgiveness of our sins. We receive what? The healing for our bodies. So I can take this as often as I want, as if I'm taking medication as well. So there's no problem. I can take it as many times as I want, because I'm proclaiming the death and the resurrection of my Savior. And as I do that, I'm renewing my mind. so that I can receive what God has done for me.